Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome here in Jesus' name this morning. And Jason's right, I didn't offer to preach. In fact, is the last 2 years since I've been ordained, I pretty much make sure my trips get me back home by Saturday evening. And because it scares me worse than it does Jason and Dwight to get up here and talk to y'all. And I'm glad to be here again, and I like to come and visit my dad, and it worked out good. So I will try to share with you, and I don't want to panic the food committee, but I'd rather panic them now than I would here in a little bit when I get done. I'm not good at preaching a long sermon, so if you got the potatoes on load back there, you probably need to turn them up. Just a thought. I don't seem to be able to preach very long. This morning, I want to talk to you about our God a little bit. And if I asked you to describe God, what would you say? What would most people say? What do most people want to talk about when they talk about God? What's one of the main things they come up with? His love. That's right. People want to talk about God's love and His great sacrifice. And a lot of people agree and will agree, and it's easy for them to accept and recognize the love that God gave to mankind and this gift that we don't deserve. We like to think about this gift and what He's given us. And I don't mean in any way to reverse in your minds this morning what we believe about God's great love and mercy to us. If you want to turn to Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, verse 26 through 31. And earlier in this chapter, it tells us of the sacrifice, of God's sacrifice and gift to us. But in verse 26 through 31, it says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden under foot the Son of Man, of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know that he hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." What I understand in these verses is that our God of love and his deeds of kindness that we hold up as the definition of who God is also a God to be feared. And so this morning, I want to look a little bit at the wrath of God. J.I. Packer summarizes, "God's wrath in the Bible is never the capricious, self-indulgent, irritable, morally ignoble thing that human anger so often is. It is instead a right and necessary reaction to objective moral evil." And I believe that when we realize how we deserve God's wrath and we fear falling into the hands of our just God, only then can we fully understand God's love. In Genesis 6, verse 6, not that far from the beginning of the Bible, or what we might view as the beginning of mankind, man had turned their back on God. And it says it grieved God, and yet God is a God of justice. And we know the story well of the flood that wiped out all of man, except for Noah and his family that served God. In the book of Exodus, up to chapter 14, we read the story of God's people in Egypt and how God's wrath came down on Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea when Pharaoh refused to listen to God. Chapter 19 in Exodus, God gave his law at Mount Sinai, gave instructions to not touch the mountain. God himself came to Mount Sinai that day. We'll read Exodus 19, verse 16. Start at verse 16. Exodus 19, verse 16 through 20. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Can you imagine a whole mountain shaking and smoking? I think God wanted his people to understand the greatness of their God and to fear the wrath of God. And you know, God called Moses up there, and the first thing he told Moses to do, he had already given Moses instructions. He said, build a fence and don't let them touch the mountain or they won't live. And the first thing God told him to do was go back down there and tell them to make sure they don't touch the mountain. And Moses told God, he said, well, we've already made fences to where they can't do it. And he said, go down there and tell them they must not touch the mountain or they will die. His wrath will fall on them. Warn them not to disobey him. For 6 days, God gave his laws, and the children of Israel promised to obey. At the end of chapter 24, Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days and nights, and God gave many instructions about worship. In chapter 32, we read about the children of Israel. They got tired of waiting on Moses. And 40 days is a long time, over a month. And they actually got kind of disrespectful. They was like, yeah, where's this guy Moses that, you know, who is this guy Moses? They kind of forgot a whole lot of stuff. And they obviously forgot to fear God. And they demanded that Aaron make him a god. And you think, how could they forget so soon? Exodus 32. Read verses 7 to 10. This was after the Lord was done with Moses. The Lord said to Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. God had done so much for them, and they forgot him so soon. Is it any wonder he wanted to pour out his wrath on them? What about us today? Romans 3:23 tells us, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve God's wrath on us. And if Jesus' blood has set us free, we can escape God's wrath. Do we forget what we're saved from at times? We're no better than the Israelites. We tend to forget. We find ourselves leaning or reaching for things God forbids. Matthew 22, verse 37. And And this was a lawyer had asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was. And I believe a verse like this was mentioned already this morning in the devotional. I thought it went well with what I had to share, and just the whole Sunday school and everything seemed to fit. I didn't really feel like I needed to say anything more. But in Matthew 22:37, after the lawyer asked Jesus this, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." We are to put God above everything else. As we heard this morning, we're not to let anything be in our way. Nothing here is worth facing God's wrath, holding on to. Joseph understood this when he was tempted with Potiphar's wife. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the terrible wrath of King Nebuchadnezzar. You can go to Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, and see what they told him. Daniel 3, verse 17, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." These young men understood what we read in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Daniel understood this too, when he faced being thrown to the lions for praying to God. In Revelation 14, verse 19, Revelation 14, 19 and 20. And this is at the end of the earth, when God will get his people and will take care of sinful man. "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." And it's a horrible picture of the wrath of God that we see here at the end of the earth. I will close here this morning by reading the last, again, out of Hebrews 10. I'll read the last of verse 30 and then verse 31. "And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Let's stand for prayer. Our God in heaven, we thank you for being God. We thank you that you're a just God, and that in being a just God, you will punish sin, and that you will take care of us if we are righteous, if we live by your word, and you tell us how to live, God, and help us to not forget your love, but most of all, remember that you will give us wrath if we do not choose you. You've given us so much, and to turn away from you is only asking for your wrath on us. It's only the right thing that you can do for us. And I thank you, God, for just taking care of the evil in the world, for taking care of the righteous, and for caring about each one of us. And I pray that we would stay true to you, that we would just remember you as we go through life, as we live our life. Remember that we were accountable to you and how you tell us to live. Thank you for this church here. I pray that you would bless each one. I pray that each one of us would be drawn close to you and that we would walk with you through life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.